podcast time from XFM. A week of shows and the best of them. Lots of chat and not much tunes for boring legal reasons.
Hello there and welcome to the Eggs podcast from the XFM Breakfast Show. On this week's podcast, Jason Bateman plays Snap My Pitch Up. James Corden confirms himself once more as a listener. Alan Carr tells us of some of his dodgy merchandising. I force feed Matt Dyson and Quizface makes a welcome return. That's enough to be getting on with.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
My name's Danny Wallace and that's nice.
I didn't know if we were doing it this morning.
Yeah, I sort of moved past the now traditional applause, but it was welling up inside you, Matt. I could see that. It was like a balloon full of helium that just needed to be.
Feels better.
That's good. How
Try
are you
it yourself?
What now?
At home or now? Yeah, go on, give it a go.
Hooray! Oh, I'm spent already. Never mind. The joy has gone. How are you, Matt? What's going on?
I'm all right, thanks. Although I had some bone marrow for the first time yesterday.
Right, I see.
And it's been sitting on me.
Was this on purpose?
Yeah, yeah.
You weren't locked in a cupboard somewhere with
no,
just dog
I was
food?
At a steak restaurant, and they said the waitress said, "Yeah, it's quite nice. If you've never had it before, it's quite creamy." And it's like these. I don't think I should talk about it. People won't be eating their breakfast.
I think traditionally they will be eating their breakfast around the breakfast show.
It's like they're like little globules of fat, basically, like gelatinous little balls fried up.
Right, I see. I'm actually going to be quite ill now. Was this at that place, St. John's or somewhere like that, the awful restaurant?
No, it was just a steak place.
Right, okay. I once was in one of those awful restaurants, and I looked at the thing, and it was all stuff like, you know, chicken's feet and kind of stuff. And the only thing that I could order, without embarrassing myself in front of some quite culinary people, was a duck's neck. Because I thought, well, it probably looks a bit like a pepperami. And so they were all like, you know, getting in with all this bone marrow and stuff, and I was just chewing on a duck's neck.
How was that? How was
it? It wasn't great. No. If you've just joined us, that was an odd moment to switch on your radio. XFM. Matt Dyson, shall we have a look at the newspapers?
Pay-per-view time.
Pay-per-view. Why don't you just, let's all tilt our heads, like sort of 45 degrees.
Well, sideways glance.
Little sideways glance. It's the wry eye. You're going to get the papers as well. Fantastic.
Sideways, yeah.
Here's the first thing I spotted, Matt. Jealous wives wage war on barmaid. A barmaid has caused a rift in an Italian town where angry wives have launched a petition demanding that this woman be sacked. The women complain that their husbands are all obsessed with Loredana Popescu, who's 27. She works in the bar. And they say their goggle-eyed partners are wasting too much of their wages, giving the curvaceous blonde big tips every time she serves them drinks. This just seems like, I mean, this sounds like a plot line from Last of the Summer Wine or something. The lady in question says that so far she's had to deal with anonymous tip-offs to the taxman, immigration, and even town hall health and safety inspectors who were called to investigate her while she does saucy dance routines in the bar. She probably stopped doing that, I reckon. That's not helping. So now she said, now I've got a petition to deal with. These women are just jealous. I have Brazilian roots and I love to dance. What's wrong with that? She says. Yeah. They've even renamed the bar in her honour. So this whole town is just obsessed with this poor woman. And she says, I have nothing against these women, but if their husbands wanted to spend time with them, they'd be at home and not in my bar.
Wow.
Not fanning the flames there at all. Mike, if this isn't like a Calendar Girls style film, I don't know what is. This kind of, it's crazy. You know, maybe she should, you know, look at, I think come to a compromise, Matt.
Yes, I think she. Where is this place? Is it in Italy?
An Italian town called Cadelbosco Sopra.
Wow.
Doesn't sound like there's much to do there from looking at the thing, but I don't know what to make of that. Matt, have you ever been obsessed with a barmaid?
No, but I have sort of, you know, thought I quite liked a barmaid and got on well with her and spent more time in that pub as a result. So I think there is something in it.
Is that right? Well, because you thought, because she keeps giving me drinks.
She's nice, isn't she?
She's asking me questions about my day.
Yeah.
Maybe this is true love.
Yeah.
The new Guinness Book of Records is out, Matt. And, you know, I'm a little bit concerned that Britain isn't really doing its bit. Mm. You know, in America, most of the most impressive ones seem to be America-based, for example, the latest edition. There's a lady who's got an afro haircut so large it could fit the world's smallest man inside. It's a 4'4" afro.
Wow.
And you know, so the littlest man could easily nestle in that glorious haircut, which is a lovely thought. But in Britain, I mean, here's the kind of stuff we've got. Largest gathering of people wearing bobble hats. Largest collection of pigs. Fastest marathon by a marching band. Kent has got the heaviest blueberry.
Oh, no.
Largest underpants, that's London. That's what we're best at. Most chicken nuggets eaten in 3 minutes. People of Manchester, well done.
Yes.
Three counties, largest collection of crabs. The largest bird nest box. What's going on in Britain that
they're
we can't...
They're so quaintly British, those, aren't they?
They're not that great. I mean, I can't find the details for the most chicken nuggets eaten in 3 minutes, but I do think, Matt Dyson, that is something that we could potentially take on by the end of the show, and I'm looking specifically at you here.
Oh, you've got the nugget thing.
Yeah, so I'm wondering. Yeah. I mean, there is a well-known branch of chicken nugget outlet over there with a Scottish bent.
How many is it? I don't think...
Well, I don't know. Producer Dave, can we find out how many it is?
Well, we can, but hold on. You want to take away the one thing Manchester's good at?
yes,
not
I
fair.
Do.
Come on, give us that.
You know, well, no, we're taking it back. You can be involved. You know, you have Manchester roots.
Yeah.
I reckon I could do it with like a man versus food style challenge. As long as you've got enough different sources to keep it interesting, then I could do it.
All right, well, listen, we'll find out how many this is. We'll find out by the next time we have a chat. We will find out. And then, you know, and Producer Dave, if you insist that the Northwest has something to do with this, you can pay for the nuggets. So
thanks.
That'll be absolutely... that's your contribution to this. But it got me thinking as well, why, you know, we've all got these talents. Some people have a heavy blueberry. Other people have a massive afro. What about the listeners? You know, why not tell us something we don't know about you and your incredible talents? What record would you break? What would you earn your place in the Guinness Book of World Records for?
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
We're back with the XFM Breakfast Show, and my guest this morning is the marvellous Jason Bateman. Now, Jason, you're obviously a very busy man. You've probably got, you know, all your projects lined up.
No, not really.
You've probably got 10 or 20 projects lined up straight after the change-up, which opens this week all over the country. But part of coming on this show means that, and I don't know if anyone explained this to you, it's probably best if they don't, but it kind of means that you have to sign up to a project that I am producing. So it's called Snap My Pitch Up, and I'm going to give you the choice of a few ideas, and you have to agree to one of them. Am I clear?
Is that like smack my bitch up?
A little bit like that, but more polite. So the first one I've come up with for you, it's called Jason Bateman's Racing Late Men. It's a TV vehicle. Jason Bateman hides in suburban alleyways or behind parked cars on the lookout for men he suspects might be late for something. And then, like the panther, he embarks on an adrenaline-fueled race to beat them there in order to subsequently admonish them for their late arrival. I see this as a long-running series, perhaps Discovery, something like that.
That is a quick pass.
Seriously?
Yeah, straight away. I'd like to hear any other ideas you have.
Well, all right. Jason Bateman rates 10 spacemen. This is a three-hour live show in which Jason Bateman rates 10 international spacemen drawn from NASA, the Russian Federal Space Program, and the European Space Agency. From 1 to 10, based on nothing more than how he feels they might get on in space.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, so you're more into this one.
Right, where it's sort of, it's like, what is it? What is the British version of American Idol? The original one, right? Is
this like a... Pop Idol or X Factor or right. Britain's Got Talent.
Is this like that?
Very much so, yeah, but it's you're the only judge, and there'll be three or four different spacemen. You would rate them 1 to 10, and the winning spaceman would then be sent into space on a mission of your choosing, be that collecting space dust, the exploration of an unusual swirl of gases, or just keeping an eye on things.
That sounds like something you'd award the loser.
Right, okay. Right. Jason Bateman said.
Off you go
space.
For 6 years twirling around in space.
Well, this doesn't sound like a firm no. The first one was a very firm no. This sounds like I've piqued your interest.
I'm very interested in this.
All right.
Start negotiations.
Fantastic. All right, well, that's the one we'll go for. You could also have had Jason Bateman, bacon patron, Jason Bateman.
Oh, hang on.
Well, that's gone now. I'll say that for someone else. You would basically be adopting pigs in the Southwest.
And then killing them and eating them.
Well, you're the patron. It'd be up to you. You could have had Jason Bateman's pagan base, which would look into basic hygiene within polytheistic religious traditions. Jason Bateman's radiation apron and Jason Bateman's narration fixation. And that would have just been a big camera on you the whole time just narrating the world.
No, I think I've picked wisely.
Good. All right. Jason Bateman rates 10 spacemen, coming soon to Discovery.
We are
XFM. It's time, Matt, to spread our wings, like little angels, teeter at the edge of the window and sort of imagine that we are flying high over Britain, over London, first of all.
Is it really that?
Fly high over London, first of all, then I would go perhaps right, maybe down towards Sussex and see what's going on over there. Oh, and you would fly north, like the wind, trailing past the... Imagine yourself up there past the 747s and... Oh. Weaving through the helicopters, the helichoppers.
Yeah. Oh, it's a lovely day for it as well.
It's a lovely day.
Clear blue sky.
Highs of
20.
Highs of 20.
Yeah.
And you'll be looking down, won't you? And you'll be seeing all the good news.
Wow.
Yes.
But before we take that journey, Matt, before we take that leap of faith, what's the good news in the studio? And my good news, by the way, may explain that very strange thing I just said. But go on, what is it?
Good news, guys. After dining on Wolfgang Puck's finest bone marrow yesterday, I'm going to meet Maxim from The Prodigy later today to look at some of his paintings. Good news, yeah?
Are you high? What was that?
Well, this is really happening. Your flight of fancy thing isn't happening. This is happening.
There was Wolfgang Puck in there. There was Maxim from The Prodigy.
The kind of life I lead. These are the kind of guys I hang with.
His paintings? Well, this seems like good news. All right. Let's go back to reality. With Phil, the much chastened Phil this morning. What's going on?
Good news, guys. Thanks to some crudely phrased text messages this morning from the listeners, I've now realised the importance of the Rugby World Cup on the sporting agenda of XFM and will be covering it extensively.
Absolutely, but it's not the Rugby World Cup per se. It was merely the fact that today it was like Namibia versus Samoa that didn't make the sports headlines.
Indeed.
But the Rugby World Cup very much on our sporting agenda. Yes. I always cough when I mention rugby. Go on, go for it, Dave.
Good news, guys. After weeks of trekking down to the basement to collect our hard-earned breakfast, the mobile canteen has now moved just next door.
And doesn't a mobile canteen sound classy? A mobile canteen. That's good news. Well done. My good news. Good news, guys. Although I rose this morning from the living room sofa with a sense of confused foreboding, having been awake non-stop since 2:15 a.m. and with only 3.25 hours sleep thanks to my infant son's inconsistent and disturbed slumber, I now find myself fueled by a potentially toxic mix of caffeine, taurine, sugar, peanut butter and banana, and I am experiencing an enormous sense of well-being. And I think probably I am on some... I'm going to crash pretty soon. But I have just looked in the ingredients on my taurine-rich energy drink, and it contains carbon dioxide.
Wow.
That can't be right. Well, anyway, it's good news as far as I'm concerned, but what's the good news where you are? 83936. If you can see me and Matt up in the sky, him in his imaginary
friendship. It gives
friendship.
You wings, Danny. Let it let you fly.
I was careful not to identify the brand, but clearly you are going to clip that and send it to the PRs. in the hope of receiving a free case of that.
That doesn't sound like Matt.
That energy drink.
The XFM Breakfast Show with Danny Wallace. XFM. Tell us something we don't know.
What talents, Matt?
Lots of them.
What talents our listeners have.
Yeah.
Not just normal talents, my friend. No. Record-breaking talents.
Yeah, like Lee, who can sneeze 14 times in a row.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, that is a good talent, isn't it? Shall we do the top five?
At number five...
comes courtesy of Joe from Dartford. I'm in the record book, he says, for lying. I think that's his first one.
At
who's
number
next?
Four...
confirm listener Mark in Hertfordshire. I have the record for being the first official ginger. All the others are just slightly off colour. Smashing.
Good work. Who's next?
At number three.
Confirm listener Huxley. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
I'm very pleased to hear it. What's your record that you could do?
I can eat 27 individual Cocoa Pops with tweezers in 30 seconds.
Now, this sounds incredibly impressive, but it is a bold claim, Huxley. Is it something you could back up right now?
I'm not sure if it's official, but I've got a certificate for it.
Hang on. So you actually have a certificate?
Yes.
Wow. Where did this take place and when?
The local youth club.
Wow. Well, it's a terrific achievement. Do you have any tweezers with you?
I don't know.
Do you have access to tweezers?
I'm not sure.
Do you have access to Cocoa Pops?
No.
All right. Well, I don't think we're going to be able to confirm it on the show, but Huxley, we believe you and well done.
Oh, thanks.
Cheers, mate.
At number two...
It comes courtesy of... it's Lloyd on the M25 again. He's moving... We're tracking Lloyd and Neil across London. Lloyd says, I broke the world record for the most roly-polies down a Holiday Inn hallway to my room. It was 27. Neil counted. I don't think anyone's done that, so I'll have it. Excellent. And obviously, if Neil did count, then, well, it's official as far as we're concerned. But what is the number one thing?
And the number one thing you told us that we didn't know in today's Tell Us Something That We Don't Know is...
Courtesy of confirmed listener, Fred.
My friend can kick himself 10-5 times in the head in a minute.
Yeah, that should be someone's ringtone. Can we play that again?
My friend can kick himself 10-5 times in the head in a minute.
What a terrific talent, not to be condoned by anyone here for legal reasons.
XFM.
Mr. Alan Carr is on the show.
Oh, thank you.
How are you?
Do you really think I'm an icon?
I think you're an icon. You know, you've got an iconic look with the specs. You've got which you play on with your new tool, Specsy Beast.
Yes. I've a milking.
Milking, fair enough. You've got the iconic laugh. That was as if to prove it.
Oh, I know. Everything's iconic about me.
You're super iconic.
Yeah.
It's lucky you're famous.
I know. Sometimes I feel I've stolen Janet Street Porter's act.
Man, imagine if you weren't famous and you were just working in a normal office job with your voice, which I find terrific, but you would be known throughout the building.
Well, I do it when I worked in the call centre. I used to answer phone calls and people would say, I'd say, hello. They go, is this a hoax? I'd be like, no, it's my voice. What can I help you with?
Is that really happening?
Yeah. No one took me seriously.
Oh, well, that's good. So the move into comedy was an easy one for you.
When you're selling funeral care and stuff like that, it doesn't...
Can you give me an example? So I've just phoned up. No, you've maybe phoned me. Is that how it works? You would phone me or I would phone you?
No, I didn't cold call. Okay. I never stooped to cold call.
So, right.
But I would be there and I'd go, hello, Bartley card lost and stolen. How can I help? Alan speaking.
Right, very nice.
Yeah.
Very professional tinge to it as well.
Yeah, well, that's... Well, you wanted the whole caboodle.
You did.
You asked for it.
Absolutely. You're on tour at the moment, Alan.
That's right, yeah.
Do you enjoy touring? Is that one of the best things in your job?
I love being on the stage and doing it, but I find the rest of it just really depressing.
What do you mean? What, like the hotel bars?
Yeah, you're on your own. You're just depressed. And you're just stuck in town.
Knutsford.
Yes, that's it. You've just got the whole... It's just killing time. Do you know what I mean? And then you come off stage, you have this amazing adrenaline rush. You can't get sleep till 2.
Right.
You know what I mean? Then you're like watching QVC. You're buying rings, slankets and candles. And then, you know, it's weird. It's not a natural thing to do, is it?
Mm.
And you're away from everyone. You know what I mean? But
how do you cope?
How do I cope?
Yeah.
Do a Sudoku.
Right, okay. That's your main
thing. A really
thing.
Big Sudoku. 8 hours just to kill time. I mean, box sets and everything, you know, and just sitting around. But when you get on stage, you go, oh, this is why I do it. It's amazing. I think everyone struggles, don't they, how boring it is and lonely.
Mm.
Started doing a bit of shoplifting the other day just to spice it up a bit.
Really? That would be terrific.
Steal it. That will give you a bit of an adrenaline rush. No, I'll do a Sudoku because stealing is wrong.
That's good, and we do not condone it on XFM.
No.
However, Alan Carr seems to. So that's fine. And some terrific merchandise available there on this tour as well.
Oh, yes.
I'll be honest, Alan did tell me before, and it was very sweet because he was a little embarrassed, wasn't he, Matt, about
yes.
the fact that he is now at the level where there is merchandising available, and it doesn't go through Alan. These things just sort of appear.
Yeah. I mean, t-shirts, lovely, but there's actually Alan Carr poo bags.
Sorry, what?
Poo bags. You know, if you've got a dog. Oh no, yes,
for
dogs.
For dogs, thank God.
No, not Alan Carr colostomy bags. It's like it's a colostomy bag with my face on it, and when you squeeze it, my goes, oh, hello, doing your poo.
It would be a very strange first step in terms of merchandising. We've got the t-shirt, we need the baseball cap, and let's get the colostomy bag sorted.
Yeah.
In fact, I mean, you know, there's a couple of people here who seem to be representatives of yours in some distinction. It would be great if we could perhaps give away a couple of Alan Carr dog defecation bags by the end of today's show. Would you like to set a question?
Yes, okay. How many grams of dog poo does a poo bag hold?
Right, and we are accepting any numbers for this. No,
I'll accept anyone who can be bothered to ring in. You can have them.
Great.
We
XFM.
Let's just stop. Let's just discuss what's happened here. Well, you know that peanut butter is the enemy of the broadcaster. Yeah? Mm. It's the enemy of the broadcaster.
It's quite claggy in the
it's
mouth.
Very claggy, yeah? And you knew that song was coming to an end. You knew that I may at some point throw to you. I don't want to get you out of your comfort zone here, but you took a massive bite of peanut butter on toast, and now you're struggling, aren't you?
Yeah, I haven't got a drink either to wash it down. So, yeah.
What have you learned, do you think?
I'm regretting that. I think I shouldn't eat it in the studio for a stop.
Yeah, and it's not just me you should apologise to, is it? It's not just Dave or Phil here. Not just your family and friends. Not just the people who work at XFM or Global Radio. Who is it that you've really let down?
Myself.
No, I just said it's not just you. No, it's the listener. The listener is who you
Sorry, the listener. I did, to be fair, I did sort of make a gesture to you saying, don't talk to me. And then you did come to me.
If there's anything more likely to make me talk to you, it's that hand gesture saying, don't talk to me.
XFM.
Big response today. Big response, Matt. There's good news happening everywhere.
Goodness.
Lots of goodness. Lots of great things going on. Do you want to start?
Spread the goodness.
You start spreading the goodness.
Let's do it. Good news, guys. My cousin was in the winning Canada rugby team this morning. It's Claire.
Wow. Take that, Kitro. Take that.
It's big news.
That is big news. Exactly. Good news, guys, says Pete in Staines. Confirmed listener, Pete, of course. Burger King for breakfast today. Well done, Pete. The breakfast of champions there. We mentioned the other fellas earlier, so that's, you know, that evened out karma-wise. Good news, guys. I'm late to work. In fact, let's go live to this one. Mark, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Now, Mark, as I began to read that out, I realised it didn't sound like good news. You are late to work, confirmed Mr. Mark. What's the positive spin?
I'm late to work, but because I'm in charge, I don't care.
He doesn't care! He's the boss. Good work, Matt. Matt, what's next?
Confirmed Mr. Michael. Last night, I came home after a few beers and watched my favourite programme that I'd Sky Plus'd. The good news is, I can't remember any of it, so I can watch them again tonight.
Oh, that's good, great. Good, what good news that is. This one is all in block capitals to start with. It's from Luke in Dagenham. Danny, it's only a couple more days till me and my mates can go to the NEC, to the Game Festival, right? The big video game thing that's going on. Right. I can't wait to meet loads of nerdy chicks. They are so hot. That's good news. Well done.
Good news, guys, from confirmed listener Duncan. I own my own boat.
That's great news.
It's an inflatable canoe, but it's still a boat.
That's fantastic. You could just have stayed with that. That would have been absolutely fine. Confirmed listener Neve, what is your good news?
Good news, guys. Canada beaten Tonga this morning in the Rugby World Cup highlight.
Yeah, that's good news. Boom, in your face, Kitro, once more. Your reaction, please.
Those Tongans didn't stand a chance.
Okay, suddenly he's an expert. Good news, guys. My train was cancelled this morning, meaning I'll be late for work, despite setting off as usual at 6:30 a.m. And as such, I will not have to sit through the tedious but important, boring meeting I had booked for 9 a.m. That's from Ian on his way to London. Just alienating many of his colleagues, I imagine. And choose a good one to end on, Matt.
Good news, guys. My 12-year-old son was asked if I was his sister by a local shopkeeper. Oh. And while I waited outside for him, son was disgusted. 30-year-old mum, happy. Oh,
that's not good news. That's great news. Excellent work.
The XFM Breakfast Show with Danny Wallace. XFM.
The journey.
The year is 1869.
Right. The adventure.
You have travelled deep into the rainforests of darkest Brazil, Lee, on the trail of the 12th of 12 legendary crystal skulls.
The choices.
Choose a letter from the 26 possible options.
L.
7.
L, okay.
The concentration.
Kick or pass?
Kick.
You're saying kick. Excellent. You have possession. Kick or pass?
Kick.
You have possession. Kick or pass?
Pass.
He asks,
are you ready to play?
You answer.
Yeah, what are the rules? Or
the world famous
Magic of Radio.
Quiz Face returns soon.
Let's get quizzical.
We are
Welcome back. It's the XFM Breakfast Show. My guest today is the marvellous Alan Carr, who's branching out.
Gone from iconic to marvellous. Can't wait for the next link.
Do
A-list Alan and his poo bag.
It did go downhill when Alan started talking about a new doggy bag that you can buy.
Bought it for everyone.
Alan is currently on tour with the Spexy Beast tour, and the amazing thing, the brilliant thing about it is it's a full-on massive arena tour, Alan.
I know, it's terrifying.
I mean, not
it?
That long ago, you know, I saw you in a room above a pub in Soho, and now you're this...
Yes, but I've stopped that now.
Yeah, I never got my change.
You like this? You want some more?
where you were doing comedy.
Yes,
that's fine. but now it's like full-on arena tours, and you walk out in your sharp suit and you're a snappy dresser and all this kind of stuff. It's an extraordinary and brilliant change.
Do you know what? I mean, I was like against it at the beginning because I'm a bit of an old, you know, I like, you know, on the warm-up tour I've done, you know, you appear in places like Houdini's have performed and Laurel and Hardy, and I love those Matcham theatres, you know, the ones
with
where
history.
Oh, and you go out there and you know amazing people, but you know, everyone's doing stand-up tours now in arena, and you know, I might not be popular in it. It might be the last chance for me to do it. You know what I mean? That's not what I'd do it, you know.
Why would you say that?
No, you know, I mean, I might not do it. You never know, do you? I might, something might happen. I might have a scandal.
Oh, please have a scandal.
Please have a scandal. You have to know, maybe that these poo bags might be made of some toxic material and someone ends up dying.
There are children in Cambodia forced to make Alan Carr's.
No, could you imagine it's a sweatshop? Poogate.
I guarantee you that...
They are not made in sweatshops.
Well, it sounds like they might be. I mean, we brought
this
up.
This is a breakfast show, not Watchdog.
In all seriousness,
I can imagine you knocking on my door. I don't at all, please. Take that camera. I didn't make those poo bags.
In all seriousness, though, there, Matt, we should check that in case, because this could be...
They are made, best of British, they are made in British call centres. Call centres.
in good British sweatshops.
Yeah. Best in the world.
By good British toddlers. Yeah. It's the Alan Carr racism sweatshop brand. I will only have British toddlers making my ill-conceived merchandising. There's going to be a DVD coming out as well November.
Yes.
Based on this tour, where are you filming it? Can people go to the actual filming
of... Yeah, it's in Manchester at the weekend. We're filming it on Saturday, so if the ugly people could come on Friday, that would be great. And hopefully on Saturday, bring banners, you know, I love Alan Carr, that kind of thing.
Punch the air. I would like it if your DVD cover was like, you know, that We Will Rock You one, where there's just one man punching the air.
Other
people just weeping with joy.
Well, I get a lot of that at my shows. But also, I mean, I'd love it if... You ever seen, like, the Michael Jackson during the Bad tour and, like, women just crying and, like, being carried over where they fainted with so much excitement?
Yeah, exactly.
If we could have that, recreate that for Saturday, that would be wonderful.
Well, this is a call-out to the people of Manchester. Go there on Saturday. Only the beautiful ones, and particularly the ladies. Alan Carr, thank you so much for dropping by.
Anytime. I've loved it.
I mentioned earlier that Manchester holds the records for the most chicken nuggets eaten in 3 minutes. Who knows if they were even trying to break the record? It's just, they just happened to be someone walking by near a bus stop. So, blimey, what an extraordinary talent.
Happy coincidence.
Yeah, it's shared as well amongst all the people there. But Dave, being from Manchester, I asked you to look into this, or near Manchester, I asked you to look into this because I think we've got the potential here with Matt Dyson. We've certainly got, you know, I think there's the hunger in your eyes, but will there be the hunger in your belly?
Well, I mean, these things basically you just have to eat till you're sick, though, don't you?
I suppose so. The entire Guinness Book of Records summed up in one strap line, but they'll never use. So you've done the math, so you've looked into it. Yeah. How many will Matt have to eat on the show today to break the record?
Well, unfortunately, that record is so new that I've struggled to find it on the internet.
Okay.
So who I have found is Sonia Thomas, who is a professional eater. They call her the Black Widow.
Right.
She managed to eat... 80.
She ate her husband.
She's really skinny as well. She managed to eat 80 in 5 minutes.
Okay, so 5 minutes. We're looking at 3 minutes. So take 40% off that 5 minute.
So
of the 80.
Yeah, so I need to take 32 off, which means you would need to eat 48.
48. In now that would be to match it. So let's add one. Look at that space. Let's add one to make sure we beat it. So that's 49 chicken nuggets. But in 3 minutes, Matt. Is this something you think you could do?
There's no way I could beat that, I don't think.
Really?
I could try.
Yeah, you're definitely going to try. Today on the show, Matt will attempt to eat 49 chicken nuggets.
FM. Hello, it's confirmed listener James Corden here. last week, I was in the shower and I thought my cleaner was downstairs. So, stepped out of the shower and out of the bathroom and into my bedroom I was reveling in my nakedness. I was enjoying being naked in the house. And she was crouched down behind the bed, at the other side of the bed, picking up socks. It was literally like something from a film. I walked in, like, singing, you know, an Adele song or something. Okay. Let's say I was singing Rolling in the Deep. Right. And up pops my Portuguese cleaner. She goes, "Ugh!" I went, "Ugh!" Obviously covered my junk with both hands. Yeah. Turned around and ran out the room.
The XFM Breakfast Show with Danny Wallace.
This week's quiz face is Quizabet, the words and letters game. Okay, Danny, you should know the rules by now. We start, as always, with an A for antelope, unless you'd like to play your J for joker. Are you happy to go ahead?
Yeah, please.
Good, all right. Remember, Danny, as we always say, consonants are worth six in the hand, more than a bird in the bush, but look before you leap, for the letters do not sleep. Am I clear?
No.
Right, okay. Let's crack on regardless. A word, Danny, beginning with a B, please.
Butterfly.
Valid. It's a valid word. Now, the number of letters in the word butterfly, please, Danny.
Nine.
Valid. That is correct. You're saying nine. Okay, that means we go straight to round nine then, where we double the letters you can win, but in half the time. Do you want to divide that number by two for a bonus ball, or are you happy with the number nine?
Happy with nine, thank you.
Happy with nine. Okay, the letter that the number nine responds to in the alphabet, please, Danny.
I for indigo.
I for seven. Indigo. Excellent. Now we're looking for two words or common English phrases. Beginning with the letter I, please. You have 2 seconds to decide.
Ice cream and ice cube.
You're saying ice cream and you're saying ice cube.
Ooh. Valid.
Excellent. The number of letters in the first word, please.
Three.
How many?
Three.
Okay, well, I'm including ice, you're saying ice cube and ice cream. I'm going for the full, including the hyphen.
Eight then, please.
You're saying eight, okay, and the number of letters in the second word, please.
Seven,
okay. Eight and seven. Let's add those two amounts together and put them on the wheel. That's what you're playing for. That's 17 alpha points. Okay, remember, you can play your joker at any time, but it will be invalid. It's the final round. Let's test the buzzer. Okay, that works. Let's begin. Danny, a well-known phrase, please.
We are XFM.
that is a well-known phrase. It's come slightly early. There's a big coincidence coming up a bit later on. You won't believe your eyes. Matt, can you tot up the number of letters in the first two words of that phrase? That's we and are, and add them to the alpha points our caller has already accrued. So that's 17 plus 5, please, Matt.
22.
All to play for. Let's take the average and divide by two. So that's 11, Matt. And divide that by two, please. It's 5.5. It's the big one. Let's see which letter of the alphabet that number aligns itself to. And we're going up this time, Matt.
Okay.
We round up.
E.
You're saying E. Okay, good. Can you hand me envelope E? All right, this is it, Danny. Your 17 alpha points have led you here to envelope E. I'm like, are you still there?
Yeah.
That would be brilliant if he disappeared about 3 minutes ago. Danny, for your chance to win the tickets, complete this sentence or well-known phrase. We are...
XFM.
He's done it! Another Quiz Face winner.
We are
XFM.
Black Kids, don't forget, this is, that's the name of the band, by the way, in case you just tuned in and you just thought I had some weird outburst. Very strange moment. Black Kids, not going to teach your boyfriend how to dance with you. Don't forget that it is your last chance. It's your last chance to win a chance to stop. I'm being a DJ.
XFM.
Guess who? At some point during the week, we will have mentioned this person or something to do with them or something they're connected to, and then Dave will find that person and set up an interview. But we won't know who it is, Matt, right? Mm. So it could be anyone that we've mentioned at any point, you know, about any story.
Yeah.
And we've got 60 seconds to guess. So someone is on the line now, am I right, Dave?
They are. Should we play the special music?
Play the special music. There it is, it's nice. And all I know is this person's name is Nancy. So, shall we start the 60 seconds? Hello, is that Nancy?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Nancy, how are you?
I'm doing real well, how are you doing?
I'm all right. She has an accent, Matt. We know, yeah. She has an accent. Where are you right now, Nancy?
Where am I right now? I am just north of Oxford Circus.
Oh, so you're in London?
I'm in London, yeah.
You're an American in London.
Mm. Yeah.
Is it just for a holiday or...?
Yeah, do you live over here or...?
I'm here to help.
You're here to help?
Yeah.
Right. So you're an advisor of some kind?
20 seconds.
Yeah.
An advisor,
I like
of
to
some
advise.
Kind.
Yeah.
Is it to do with universities?
Nah, I'm sorry, although the University of Life is a very important one.
The University
of
Life?
Are you an entertainer?
Oh. Yeah, people find me entertaining, yes, they do. But well, it's a serious message.
With a serious message, what could that be? We talked about a few things this week. We've run out of time in terms of the 60 seconds, but Nancy, please reveal what it is that you do.
I am here to... stiffen the spines of British people. The New York Bakery Company recently did some research saying that British people say sorry on average 8 times a day.
There you go. We were talking about that, of course. 8 times a day we say sorry, don't we?
8 times a day, yes.
And there was an amazing statistic about how many times that we say sorry per year.
Yes, I mean, it's in the thousands. I like to look at it in terms of time. Let's assume that each sorry takes 1 second of your life, okay? That's not without all the bumbling and stuff that you guys do. So you just say sorry straight out, just like that, a second. You could gain yourself an hour a year. Now, when you get to be my age, that's significant. That's a weekend in Paris.
So you're saving up, so you're sacrificing politeness, courtesy, all the things that has made Britain great, so that one day you can have a weekend in Paris.
Well, we won't all even talk about the food issue here, but no, it's not a question of polite. Half the time you guys are apologizing for things you didn't even do.
That is true, and I do feel I should apologise even now for that, because it is a huge imposition to have you fly over here just to tell us that. I do apologise for your time that you've invested in this because of our own courtesy. Where are you from in America? You sound sort of Brooklyn, New Jersey.
I'm from New York.
From New York.
Queens.
And they do have a reputation for being some of the rudest people in the world.
You know, I don't think we're rude. I think we're misunderstood.
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just, you know, we're busy people. We don't have the time. Hey, it's not my fault. I'm not going to apologize for it.
I apologize for what I said and putting you in that position. I do apologize.
Nancy, I have so much work to do with you. It's not even true.
I'm really sorry about that.
The XFM Breakfast Show with Danny Wallace.
Our very special guest. In many ways, that word applies. Robin Cooper is here. Hello,
Welcome
sir.
Welcome back to
thank
the
you.
Show.
Yeah.
I'm quite comfortable in my seat now, and I think I'm looking forward to helming the rest of the day's action on XFM.
I could see you and Ian Canfield would work well together, I think.
Ian Canfield?
Yeah.
Is he related to Gavin Canfield?
Matt, is he related to Gavin Canfield?
I think he possibly, yeah.
Because
it's a
he
cousin,
put some
I think
tiles down in our house.
Yeah. Did he?
The three of them broke. We phoned him 40 times. He never replied.
Well, you stick around after the show and have it out with Ian.
Right.
Ben and Romford, on the subject of boiler maintenance.
Yes.
You've just tuned in. This is
flooding in. Thank you, Londoners.
Yeah, exactly. If your boiler pump breaks down, he says, it can be replaced by a scuba gear wearing hamster in a ball.
A lunatic. He's talking about.
Right.
That would be, well, illegal, number one. Very dangerous. No, if you're listening, don't try this in your homes or second homes. Some people have second homes.
Some people do, don't they?
You've got a second home.
I do not.
No.
I do not.
Do you have a third home?
Yes, I skipped straight to the third.
Where is that?
Well, I'd rather keep that.
Keep that as a secret.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you like living in your home?
Yeah, it's one of the things I enjoy. All my stuff is there.
Right.
It's convenient.
So what stuff do you have?
I've got, there's a sofa and a bed and a telly.
Do you have soap in your house?
The soap, yeah, the soap.
Is there soap? Does it, where you keep your soap in your bathroom, well, how do you describe it? Is it in a couch? Is it in some form of...
like a dish, like a soap dish.
Yes.
No.
Straight onto the surface.
Well, sometimes, you know, there is. I don't have a bar of soap. We use hand soap.
Right, made from ham.
Hand.
Because you can, there is, you know, soap in the old days was made from animal fat.
Was it?
Right, yes. Used to actually make it from lark's fat, you know, because for birds, they're a very, very fatty bird.
The lark is a fatty bird?
The lark's an enormous bird.
And so how many...
No, I'm getting confused. No, that's ostriches.
how do you spend your spare time, Pete and Bo wants to know?
Well, this week I've been dismantling the radios in the house to see how they all work.
Right.
And my wife was out and I got quite a few of them. Uh-huh. And
So you're married?
Well, yes, I'd rather not talk about that.
Okay.
because she's listening. And I was dismantling the radios, my darling. And unfortunately, I did it sort of on a precipice. And I dropped all the parts down the precipice.
Yeah.
Down the stairs, basically. And it's completely impossible to put them back together again.
Really?
So we're talking about 11 radios, you see.
Yeah.
And so we don't have any way of listening to the... I don't even know if this is actually a real radio programme. I've never heard it myself. And I tried it with the televisions and the same thing occurred. So all we do at night is sort of sit and stare at each other. Hello, my darling. Now, also...
summing up so many marriages and so
right,
many houses.
Right, we went to a nice show.
Oh, yeah?
Well,
where'd you
say
go?
Nice. It wasn't really nice. It was a magician. My friend Martin Bale...
Yeah, Martin, yeah.
He invited us to go and see a magician. He's called the Amazing Vomito.
Vomito?
Vomito.
Vomito.
And he's a regurgitator, they say. I didn't know this. He just said he does stuff with birds. And
look
he eats
Matt
all
just spat
kinds
his,
of things.
Matt just spat his coffee over the
and
desk.
See, well, he's a regurgitator too. Everyone's naked today. It's very strange. It's quite off-putting. He was eating... He starts by eating small things like metal bolts, and then he coughs them up, and he works his way through from bolts to bicycle seats, and he's all sort of parts of chairs. And at the end of the show, he's taken to hospital, and they pump his stomach out. We are
my old friend Matt.
Mm-hmm.
My old enemy.
Yeah. Make up your mind.
All right. Shall we think about what we have learned today? Here's what we learned today. You're doing the robot.
Yeah.
The robot.
Robot.
That's the French version of the robot.
The robot. Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's a posh version. Mm. You're doing the robot. Go on then.
Okay, first fact this morning. After this week's broadcast of the XFM Breakfast Show, the Loughborough Echo has now become the most mentioned local newspaper on commercial radio in London ever. Another 6 name checks on Thursday, adding to the 12 we've had since the show started.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Today, there were more men in the studio than ever before, to an almost uncomfortable degree, lending the XFM XFM breakfast show a laddie feel that really it does not deserve. This has only recently been counterpointed by the arrival of Sunta in the office. Hello, Sunta.
Hey.
Good work. It's all fine now.
Balancing things out.
Yeah.
In addition to that, a little off-air info nugget from guests, Marcus, Andy and John. Mm. They've got a table tennis table in their flat in Clapham Old Town.
Very nice. Get down there. They're out at the moment. three different types of aftershave were identified this morning. 212, Armani for men and Kouros. PJ Harvey was mentioned 17 times during today's 3.5-hour broadcast, a rise of nearly 200% from yesterday. This despite a text from one listener asking Matt why he keeps talking about PJ Harvey.
Also, producer Dave is currently psyching himself up for his best man speech.
Ladles and jelly spoons.
Today's wedding. He's texted me in a moment of panic to say he is now thinking about using your opening gambit, ladies and jelly spoons.
Fantastic.
Ladles.
And finally, topics discussed off-air included, and this was off-air until now, ladles and jelly spoons as an opening. Whether passable is in fact a passive-aggressive insult. Meat, eggs. No Lucy Viraswamy chat today. That's 2 days in a row. We must be ill. We are.
So there you go, that was the 8th podcast from the XFM Breakfast Show. There'll be another one in a week, or listen every day from 6:30 on XFM. Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace!